Well, good morning to you all and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus, our King. It's been again a privilege to be here among you and to worship our Lord together. God bless each heart and soul here this morning. Yeah, thought of, what makes our assembly every week is probably different. Different faces at times. A lot of times it's the same. Some of the same faces. But I think of, God puts every assembly together. And so, another opportunity, another blessing that we have to come to gather this way, unhindered from the world around us, of freedom. That's something we often take so much for granted. Is how we come together in ways like this without hindrance from the world and from those around us. A real gift from God. Chosen to speak this morning on the subject of spiritual gifts. I've had gotten that suggestion from the congregation here, so I felt led to share on that this morning. So you can turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for a text.
Oh, yes, sure.
I think I hit a button here. Did I turn it off? You hear me there? Is that good? Okay. Written it out. Okay. So 1 Corinthians 12 is probably where what you think about when you think of the topic of spiritual gifts. There's other passages as well that touch on it. I feel like it's a topic I'm not very well versed in for sure. But it's been a good study. For me, one of the advantages I think that definitely helped me was being at SMBI again in February there at the Minister's Week, had some teaching on this, and so kind of gave me a springboard at least, so some of the things I'll be sharing here this morning come from some of the things that were taught there. I want to give that credit where it is due. And so, I think I'll just take the time to read the passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just take the time to read the chapter. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, but much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So this passage, of course, is full, and just kind of in here between chapters 11 and 13, of course, and then again in verse 14, talking a lot about the gift of tongues in chapter 14, but that more excellent way, you know, in chapter 1 Corinthians 13, of course, is charity and love. And I think it would be easier for me to preach on chapter 13 than on chapter 12. But like I said, I'll see where what the Lord can teach us here in chapter 12. Just to get a little bit of a context, I think I thought of Christ in His fullness, and you know the gifts of the Spirit here. The spiritual gifts that Christ gives us through His Spirit are first of all something He exemplified when He was here. And Christ was full of the Spirit of God. And I think He had every one of these gifts mentioned. I think He had them all. And a couple verses, Colossians 1 has a couple verses talking about the fullness of Christ. Colossians 1, verse 19 says this, very familiar verse, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And then again in chapter 2, verse 9 of Colossians says, for in Him dwelleth all, talking of Christ again, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So we see here the fullness of God was upon Jesus. It says the fullness of the Godhead bodily embodied Him. Verse 1, or chapter 1:15 says, He was the image of the invisible God. We can't overemphasize who Jesus was. The image of the invisible God. He wasn't the shadow or somebody like God. He was the image of the invisible God. it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Had to think of Jesus' baptism in Luke 3. I think demonstrates the fullness of the Godhead bodily was in Christ. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Here again, the context is when Jesus baptized in the River Jordan. It says this: Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. I can see all three parts of the Trinity here, all three parts of the Godhead right here in this place. Of course, Jesus was the Son. And we see the Holy Spirit, the heavens opened, it said. Don't know what that looked like, but somehow the heavens opened. And the Holy Ghost descended bodily, like shaped like a dove, upon him. And then we have the Father here. They heard a voice from heaven. It says, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. We have the Holy Ghost, we have the Son of God, and we have God the Father all right here in this context. And so I think that sets a little bit of a, of a springboard here for spiritual gifts is, first of all, that Christ is Lord of all these gifts. And I think he won all these gifts for us. He demonstrated all of them. He had them all. Back to our text in 1 Corinthians. The Lordship of Jesus. First Corinthians 12, I think verse 3. We see how that Paul here says, Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So we have both the ones that are rejecting Jesus and the ones that are calling him Lord, which is a test on Spirit of God. Jesus Lord, and then the Lordship behind that confession is very important. We know that not everyone, I think it's Matthew 7, it talks about not everybody saying, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And in that same context, it talks about gifts. People are going to say, Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And Jesus says, Depart from me. I never knew you. So we see these gifts can also be abused, or they can be done in even using Jesus' name possibly, but they don't have the life, the lordship behind the confession is what matters. They call him Lord, Lord, but he's not Lord of their lives. It's only a confession. It's only an expression. Doing things in Jesus' name, but they don't have Jesus as Lord of their life. So we have Christ's lordship over all these gifts of the Spirit. 1 John 4, verse 2 says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Another test. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So these confessions point to Jesus Christ. And all these spiritual gifts are exercised under His lordship. I just had to, again, this study helped me, again, recognize how good God is. These gifts He gives us. He gives His body. These gifts He gives His church to build them up. You know, God doesn't just make us good. And He doesn't even just stop with the fruit of the Spirit. He gives us, many times in Scripture, the Holy Ghost is called a gift. And so you have this gift of the Holy Ghost. And then it seems like these category of spiritual gifts kind of come underneath that. But then you have the fruit of the Spirit. You know, so the Holy Ghost is given to us and it changes us. It takes that old heart out of us and gives us the new. That's that operation of God in our heart. And then out of that comes fruit. But God doesn't even just stop with that. He actually goes on further. And He actually endows us with some spiritual gifts. Like this seems to me like this is even above and beyond. Seems like God could easily just stop with, you know, just filling us with His Spirit and the fruit of His Spirit just coming out of our lives. But He says He goes a step further and He endows us with gifts, helps. Isn't God good? Again, I think a message preaching on the fruit of the Spirit would be easier than on the gifts of the Spirit. Oh no, it just seems like this one, I'm just a little bit more. Not sure why. But just some differences between gifts. Gifts and fruit aren't the same thing. We have the fruit of the Spirit, and here we have the gifts of the Spirit, and there's some difference there. They're not the same. And a few characteristics of the two, maybe they help us understand the difference. Fruit has to do with our character. It has to do with who we are. You know, a tree, an apple tree gives forth an apple, right? Because it's an apple tree. So if our hearts are good, it produces good fruit, right? So fruit is more of has to do with what's within us coming out. Gifts maybe have to do more with service. Fruit would be more like, I am enriched by this fruit. Enriches my life. I am full of goodness, peace, and faith, the fruit of the Spirit. It enriches my heart. The gifts of the Spirit are more, the church is enriched. They're given to us so we can serve. Fruit of the Spirit is kind of an end in itself. It makes us good. The Spirit of God comes in and makes us good, and it's because we're good that we can express good fruit. The gifts of the Spirit are more of a means to an end, where they're given to us so we can use them to bless others. And the fruit of the Spirit would be the same as well, but some of them kind of run together. The fruit of the Spirit is more what a man is. Again, going back to our character, the fruit of the Spirit is more what we are. The gifts of the Spirit is what a man has, is what God gives him. It's almost, the fruit is more produced from within. And the gifts come more from without. The fruit of the Spirit is usually in the singular. It calls it the fruit. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit. Gifts are gifts, not just the gift. They're in the plural here. Spiritual gifts. The gifts are often in the plural, or the gifts are in the plural. The fruit is more of a singular. Gifts also will cease. And I think the fruit is permanent. Gifts will cease. Fruit is permanent. Again, a lot of that goes back to the teaching in SMBI. Some of the differences between what fruit and gifts are. There is a difference there. So again, just going down through the chapter here and taking a few things hopefully we can learn from. We see the unity here in diversity. It's the Spirit gifts unity in diversity. Diversities of gifts, verses 4, 5, and 6 here. It talks about all those diversities, but the last phrase, the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. And I like the Trinity right there. In verses 4, 5, and 6, the Trinity is all mentioned there. It talks about the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. So we have the Spirit, the Son, and the Father all right there. Diversities of gifts. That word gifts is charisma in Greek, which is grace. Like it's like that charisma. We all know what that is, I think. Now, there are diversities of charisma. There's diversities of grace, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of administrations. That administrations is I'm not sure if I can pronounce that, diakonia, something like that in Greek. Has more to do with like a servant and service. Diversities of service. Differences of service. Verse 5. Verse 6, diversities of operations. That word operations in the Greek is energema. And you see that, you see the word energy in there. It's like an effect or a working out. Diversities of operations, but it's the same God that worketh all in all. So then we have a whole list here of the different gifts. There seems to be 9 here listed in verses 10 or verses 8 through 10. There's 9 different manifestation gifts here. All by the same Spirit. You have the gift of the word of a word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, gifts of working miracles, gift of prophecy, gift of discerning spirits, the gift of various tongues, and then the gift of interpretation of tongues. All those 9 are mentioned in this list here. And again, I just thought about how Jesus, I think he had them all. He had every one of them down. Just the word. For instance, the gift of the word of wisdom. I thought about that woman that was caught in adultery. They brought him there. They brought her there before Jesus. I think Jesus demonstrated a gift of the word of wisdom. He put all his there. He put all her accusers to silence. The gift of the word of wisdom. And I wondered, you know, if Jesus was there writing, it took him a little bit of time. He was there writing on the ground. It seemed to me he was probably praying. It seemed to me he was probably begging of his Father. Lord, need wisdom. And I think some of these gifts can be given just at the situation, at the moment. I wondered if Jesus wasn't crying out to God. In that situation, for a word of wisdom, and God gave it to him. Because these accused, what these people, what they, her accusers were saying was true. She was caught right in the act of sin. She's worthy of death. It was the law of Moses. I think he put Jesus on the spot. And that's what they were trying to do. But we see God giving him that word of wisdom. The gift of the word of wisdom. The gift of the word of knowledge. The gift of faith. You know, faith is also a fruit. It's also mentioned in the fruits of the Spirit is faith. But I think there's occasions at times where, you know, God gifts us in particular, or one of us, or some of us in particular, with an extraordinary faith at different times, at different moments. Gift of faith. Gifts of healing, gifts of working of miracles. I don't have a lot of elaboration on how these gifts are manifested and worked out, but I know that they're gifts and they're graces that God, again, the Lord, gives to his church for building it up. And, you know, gifts of healing, working of miracles, I think they're still prevalent today. Sometimes it seems like we don't see them too much, but I think here in America there's probably less than there is in a lot of other places in the globe. But those things are still happening today. Gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, gifts of discerning spirits. You know, there's some of us that just, you know, have some discernment and, you know, can, you know, tell a little bit maybe the spirit behind things. And these gifts, we need them all. The gifts of tongues, now that one there, I don't know that one, how much we see that today. I've never seen it. Seems like here in the USA, like, we have this one common language that's so broad and big here, we hardly even need the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. But I'm sure that that gift is still also probably in other places of the world being used today, and maybe even here. Interpretation of tongues. But this, I found it interesting that this one was at the bottom of the list every time it was mentioned. Again, in there's a list there in verse 28, and the diversities of tongues were at the bottom. And again in verse 30. And I think this one here was especially what was tripping up the Corinthian church, it seemed. Because all of chapter 14 is an elaboration of this gift of tongues and interpretation and so on. And it seemed like they were abusing it, or at least misrepresenting some of it, and it needed to be taught on this gift of tongues. And I wondered if that why, you know, they were putting this interpretation and gift of tongues would have had it at the top of the list. And I wonder if Paul had intentionally put it here at the bottom because of some of their warped use of it there in the Corinthian church. And again, we see, like I said, I think maybe why some of these, maybe even why I found it harder to preach on the gifts of the Spirit is because of all the abuse of it and so many different ideas and different opinions on these gifts. But I think we need to be careful that just because these gifts are often abused doesn't mean we should throw them out because, hey, let's get right back to the original. And these are graces. These are gifts God gives the church for the building up and the edifying of his body. And, you know, I just thought about, you know, how probably often if I would be in a place somewhere where there'd be this tongues or whatever's going on, I would probably put up a red flag real quick because there's been so much abuse of that. And but let's again be aware that this was actually given for a reason, for the right reason. And, you know, I go back to the book of Acts here, the day of Pentecost, and right there in the early church. And I get back there and I was like, well, I would have liked to see that. That was God. That was amazing. That gift. Everybody heard it in their own language. Glorifying God. Wow. So this, I think the devil would love, one of his great tactics is, of course, if he can get somebody to abuse what God has given and then have the whole thing just discarded and thrown out by the church. Oh, well, that the devil would love that. Sure, if he can get us there, that'd be great. Throw out the baby with the bathwater, they say, right? So like I said, I don't have a lot of elaboration on the different gifts here and how they're often manifested and how they work. But I'm just blessed when I see God, the graces and gifts he gives to build up his church, to build up his kingdom, to build up his body. Verse 11 stands out to me. It says, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit is more of a person than what we often think of it. He's a person of the Godhead. It says here, as he wills, talking about the Spirit of God. So we see here the Spirit of God has a will. And the Scripture talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God must also have emotion. And he talks about the mind of the Spirit. So we see here the Spirit of God, we don't often think of him as a person, I don't think, but I think we should more. It says here that the Spirit of God, he divides to every man severally as he wills. So we don't get to choose our gift. We don't choose that. No. God chooses. A gift is something we are given, right? So God chooses whether to give you a certain gift or not. God chooses that. He's the Lord, the Spirit of God. He divvies it out as he wills. So every congregation and every body, the Spirit of God gives the gifts out to every individual as he wills it. The individual don't choose which gift he gets. That's not for him to say. Verse 18 as well, talking about God here. Now, God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. So we see here, God is the one that builds the church. God sets the members in place. You could ask, well, where does our will come into that? Good question. I think I'll just let that, but here it says God has set the members individually in place as he will. I think I'm going to skip it. I'm going to come back to this allegory here of the church being he uses the human body here. And I want to come back to that. But before we do that, I think I'll just jump down here to verse 28, where it gives us another list of gifts here. I think there's five more gifts mentioned here, and there's a few that are repeated that were mentioned before. Maybe three in verse 28 that were mentioned before. So verse 28, he says, God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So we have the gift of helps and the gift of government here that weren't mentioned before in verses 8 through 10. The gifts of administration, maybe you could say, for government. Gift of administration, gift of helps. Well, now I'm not sure what all that includes, but it's a gift of helps. And, you know, I look across our congregation and I just see so many gifts. You know, I think God has, like you said, he just gives them out as he wills. And there's some things I know I should just, it just wouldn't be me. I just couldn't do it like he does it. And it's just beautiful when I think of that. Different places and gifts God gives each individual and uses it to build his church, build his body. You have the three gifts there in verse 28 of apostles, prophets, and teachers. And I think maybe one of the reasons maybe he ranks them in the order that he does, or at least first, second, and third there, is I see one theme here is the Word of God. That's what all three of these do, is they handle, they teach, they preach, they take the Word of God. And I wondered why they are ranked as important here is because of the Word of God. The Word of God needs to be taken out, needs to be taught, it needs to be preached. And the Word of God is so important. Preaching the Word is the three that they have in common, is what those three gifts have in common there. Teaching, handling the Word of God, taking the Word. You know, the definition of apostle, maybe when you think of, maybe you don't think there is apostles today. I think there is. I mean, I don't think it was just the 12 apostles. Yeah, they were probably the apostles with a capital A. And I think, I don't want to minimize that. They were, but apostle is someone that's sent. That's the meaning of an apostle. I think, Alan, you could see yourself as the apostle to Kenya. An apostle to Kenya and Lois. Sure, you're sent. Prophets, you know, maybe we don't have prophets today like Jeremiah and Isaiah, those great prophets that, you know, built on. The gospel is built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, but we could maybe at least say we have prophets with a small p and apostles with a small a, I think so, and teachers. We're not a great teacher like Jesus was with a capital T, but sure, we have teachers. Then he asks that rhetorical question. There's rhetorical questions there at the end. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Of course, the answer to that is no. So God divvies them out to the individuals. Some. He says some here. Or that, I think that's actually in Ephesians. Let's see. I have that marked down. I think it's Ephesians 4 where he talks about some apostles, some prophets, some. I should just see if I can find that. Thank you, man. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4. So again, now coming back. Like I said, I don't have a lot of elaboration on the individual gifts and their manifestations and so on. But I'd like to come back here and take some lessons here from the illustration of the human body. And it's not just here in Corinthians. It's in other places of Scripture where, you know, Jesus is the head of the body. And his members are members of his body. I find it interesting here in verse 12. That last phrase in verse 12 says, so also is Christ. He's actually calling the church here Christ. Did you catch that? It says, for the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. So he's saying, just the way the human body works together, it has different members, yet it's one body. So is the church. And he calls the local church here Christ. And Christ means the anointed one. That's what Christ means. The anointed one. So we as Christ's body, he calls his body right here. He just says it's Christ. It's his body. It's part of his body. I found that fascinating. He calls us as his body. The same name that he uses for himself. So also is Christ. You know, I get the picture sometimes like, again, the fullness of God dwelt in Christ. The fullness of God. The fullness of the Godhead was there. And then it seems like after he ascended, then he gave these gifts back down to men, to his body, and he built his church. And it seems like he's saying that now the church should be able to do, he actually says it's going to be better. He said it's expedient that I go away so that the Comforter can come. He says the one who believes, he says those who believe on me are going to do greater works than I do. So he actually almost says it's going to be a greater work. So it seems to me that his body, his church, is able to, this almost sounds not right, but it almost seems to me like his body as his church is going to be able to do greater things than what he himself did while he was here. If the body and functioning together and in a way that Christ intended, that witness and influence of his body is going to be almost greater than it was when he himself walked the earth here. And we know the difference Jesus made when he walked in the earth here. Everywhere he went, the influence and the energy and the grace and the power, it came out of his life and influence the places that he went to. And I wondered about, I just throw this out there, the church at Shade Mountain is Christ. He calls it Christ here. Our local church right here, whatever church you're represented, if you're a visitor here, your church is called Christ. He gives all these gifts to the church. The 35 years or 30 some years that we've been present here in this valley. Is it just like if Christ would have lived here for 35 years? The influence, the grace, the power, the love. It's compelling. Are we reflecting that? Are we being good stewards of the manifold grace of God? I think that's God's will. I think that's why he gives these gifts. He had them all, but the problem was when he was here, they were too confined. They were all, he had to be there. I think that's one of the biggest advantages of him going back to the Father. And he gave those gifts back down to his church, and it was better because the word spread, for one. It wasn't all just trapped in one individual. I think that's where we can have, that's one of the ways we can, the greater works is because it's spread out among us. And we can all find our place, fill our role, and exercise the gift that God has given us. I thought of the parable of the talents, and I don't think there's a one of, I know there's not any one believer that doesn't at least have one gift. There was, you know, in the parable of the talents, there was the one, and then he gave the one two, and to one five. But we see how the one squandered his gift, the one that had the one talent. And I think that can be a temptation for us too. God gives us a gift and we don't exercise it. We don't use it. Paul told Timothy to not neglect the gift that is in thee. Don't neglect the gift that is in thee. He told Timothy that. And I think there that lesson there in the talents is also for us. If we do neglect, if we don't exercise, what does it say there? It says, to him that hath will be given more, and to him that hath not will be taken, even that one hath. I think God does that. If we're not good stewards of what he's given us and the gifts he showers upon us, if we don't exercise them and build up his body and his church with them, we have our part to play. It's again, as we find our place, as each one of us individuals find our place, just like the body there. He talked about the eyes and the ears and the smelling. You know, just think about all that your body had to do to work together just for you to get here in this place this morning. All the different members of your body that played a part in that brought your body here. They all worked together to do it. It was a mutual effort by all the different members of your body. So it is, should be, the church. We're all animated and made alive by the same Spirit. The same Spirit is the one that motivates each one of us. The same Spirit is the one that gives each one their individual different gifts. And it's as we all find our place and exercise our gifts that the body of Christ is made complete and whole. And Jesus is our head. He doesn't say he's like our head. He says he is our head. And he doesn't say like we're like his body. It says we are his body. Do we act like what we are? There's nothing more beautiful when you see a body of believers, a body, any mutual effort, pulling the same way, the direction, same direction, the same place. They're pulling toward the same thing. And it's when we get our focus off of Christ and we get our focus off of that one Spirit, and that one Lord, and that one baptism, that we start to have schism in the body. And we often find ourselves, we're pulling two different directions sometimes. Some of us. We start to, there's some divisions. Verse 25 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that all the members should have the same care one for another. How are we doing? Three things I thought that, or three things here that I have that I think hinder our mutual pulling together, working as a body should function. One I have is an independent spirit. It's a very real one. Just get kind of independent. You know, I cut my hand off and it lays here beside me. By itself, it's not going to do a whole lot of good. Probably it's going to be worthless. It's only as it's attached to my body, the rest of the members. Independent spirit. I think that's especially true in our culture, in our Western culture here, very much so. You know, a lot of people in a lot of places are identified and known by the group of people they belong to. That's just true in a lot of places in the world. Not so here. Everybody's just can see sort of his own. Another one is no superiority spirit. A superiority spirit is going to have a devastating effect on the function of the body. If we think our office or our gift or our calling is greater than so-and-so's, then we're in trouble. It's just what it says here, talking about the eye and the ear. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? So again, that old enemy of pride, superiority spirit, has a devastating effect on unity. Another one is kind of the other side of the ditch, maybe, is an inferiority spirit. That also has a very devastating effect. When we think what we are and what we've been given is just so inferior to everybody else, we just don't feel like we're needed. We don't feel like we have a voice. We don't feel like inferiority spirit. Don't let it, don't believe those lies. That's not true. Your gift, your calling and your place here or wherever you find yourself is so important. The passage here we read explains that. Those that seem less comely or less important are very important. Those that are less honor says, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. That's how it says it there. Don't allow yourself to have an inferior spirit. That's not going to do the body. That's not going to do the body well at all. So you have an independent spirit, you have a superiority spirit, and you have an inferiority spirit. They're all devastating to the function of the body of Christ. May we all find our place, fill our place, and exercise the gift God has given us. It's not for show. These gifts, and I think that's oftentimes why we hesitate to teach on or speak on. They're not for show. They're for service. That's what they're for. They're not for show. They're for service. They're not to magnify an individual or a certain person. They're to edify the body. They're to build up the body of Christ. That's what they're for. That's why God has so graciously given them to us. I think I'll just close with a couple points in Ephesians 4. You can turn there, Ephesians chapter 4. Just pull out a few things here. Verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up in high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. I think that includes these spiritual gifts. I think I said when Jesus ascended up to the Father, he had them all. He had every one of them. And then he dispersed them. He built his body, built his church. He gave them out. Gifts, Spirit. Verse 11, I think I probably should just read verses 11 to 16. It says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Therefore we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16 is so beautiful. It says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's my prayer for the church here and for everybody, whatever church you're a representative if you're a visitor here, and every congregation that names the name of Christ could find that true. That we could work together just as our human body does, as smoothly as it does. Beautiful picture. May God bless this word. Let's kneel for prayer.